Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Today we're going to talk about the subject of perception. Perception. It is just a matter of perception. You know, you've heard people say perception is reality, remember? Well, what we want to really do is, rather than just talk about perception is reality, that is, people looking at facts and getting them wrong, getting emotional, getting things messed up, let's look in the Bible and really see some things that diminish your perception, and then let's look at some things in the Bible that enhance your perception. And that way, hopefully, you won't be in a situation where you thought something was a certain way and acted on it, and then found out later that it wasn't the way that you thought, and then have to say, well, perception is a matter of reality. I mean, it's true that people feel that way, but truly their perception is not the reality. That's to just justify the response they've made to what they thought they saw, okay? So let's go through the Bible and let's look at what helps our perception. Let's look at in the Bible and see what hurts our perception. First thing we'll do is we'll look at those things that diminish your perception. Turn with me to Job. We're going to look at a lot of scripture today, but that's what we should do. Job chapter 9, and in Job chapter 9, let's look at verse 11. Job is talking about some things concerning the Lord, and he says, "Lo, he goeth by me, and I see him not. He passeth on also, but I perceive him not." And the context is the Lord God. All right, what affected Job's perception? He says, "Lo, he," that is God, "goeth by me, and I see him not. He passeth on also, but I perceive him not." You know what affects his perception? His human limitations. His human limitations. There are only so many things that you are ever going to discover about the Lord, or know about the Lord, or know about what he made, because the rest of it is impossible for you to discern as a human being. Isaiah 64:4 says about the Lord, "For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither have seen, or neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him." Human limitations. So there is only so far that you're going to be able to go. The secret things belong unto the Lord, Deuteronomy 29:29 says. And so if God doesn't want you to be able to perceive heaven, if God doesn't want you to perceive his creation by examining his creation, that is the origin of life, then you can try all that you want to try, search as hard as you want to search, and you are not going to ever perceive those things. And the reason is you are limited as a human being. Now, I know you don't like to hear that. Certainly, if I said to a scientist, "You'll never find the origin of life by looking at God's creation," well, then he'd be really upset. You can find evidence, but you're not ever going to know those things until you believe what God said. And you're really not going to know it until God shows you, and then your perception will be 100%. Human limitations. There's only so much you're going to know. All right, here's a very practical thing that diminishes your perception. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19, and look at verse 33. Genesis 19:33, they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he perceived not when she lay down nor when she arose. Same thing in verse 35. What affected his perception was alcohol. All right, so anything that inebriates you, alcohol or drugs, that kind of thing, those things are going to diminish your perception. That's why there are laws that say if you're taking a certain drug, you cannot drive. If you have had so much to drink, you cannot drive. You cannot operate machinery and so forth. That's why employers do drug testing because they want to make sure that you, while you're on the job, you are 100% functional and that your perception is in no way diminished by some substance that you have put in your body, okay? So things that diminish your perception will be, first of all, human limitations, and secondly, something that by its very nature would diminish your perception, like alcohol or drugs. Okay? Now here's another one. Very, very important. Deuteronomy chapter 29. Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 4. This concerns Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 4. Verse 3 for the context. Moses is speaking and talking about the great temptations which thine eyes have seen. Talking about Jews leaving Egypt. The great temptations which thine eyes have seen, the signs and those great miracles. Talking about the plagues. Okay, he said, you've seen all that. These things were done before your eyes, verse 2 says. Deuteronomy 29:3 says, those great temptations which thine eyes have seen, the signs and those great miracles. Verse 4 says, yet the Lord hath not given you an heart to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear unto this day. What's the problem there? The problem is unbelief. The problem is unbelief. Moses said in Deuteronomy 8:3 that the Lord made them wander around in the wilderness and eat manna, so that they would learn that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Unbelief will really diminish your perception. When somebody reads the Bible and they don't get it, a lot of times the problem is they don't believe it. Now, that may not be the case for you. I realize that when you first start reading the Bible, it's a little weighty. You got to get used to it, but after a while, things really start coming in. But a lot of the problem with perception is simply unbelief, okay? If a problem with perception is unfamiliarity with the words of God, well, the more you read, the better you're going to get. But if it's unbelief, you're never going to get it. I gave a Bible to a friend of mine one time, and I said, read this. And after he'd read it, he called me, and he said, I've read through the first 10 chapters of Genesis. He said, but you don't really believe that junk, do you? You don't really believe that happened just that way. I said, every single word of it, I absolutely do believe it. Now, if you hang up in Genesis 1 through 10, you're going to have difficulty all the way through the Bible. And the problem is going to be your unbelief. And that's what the Lord said here. The Lord hath not given you an heart to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear unto this day, although they heard all those things and saw all those things for themselves. It's like when Jesus Christ was here as their Messiah. The woman at the well discerned. She perceived that he was the Messiah. All right? But the Pharisees didn't. Okay? The woman at the well perceived he was the Messiah. The Pharisees, by contrast, didn't get it. Why? They didn't believe him. They said, oh, this guy's Beelzebub. This can't be our king. This can't be our Messiah. They wrote him off, and it affected their perception. Things that diminish your perception, things that cause you to say, my perception is my reality, when reality is not what you perceive. Human limitations, alcohol, or some other type of thing that inebriates you. Unbelief. And here's another one, spiritual blindness. In other words, here in Deuteronomy 29:4, we also see this, yet the Lord hath not given you an heart to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear unto this day. All right, spiritual blindness there is is really, this is bad because it's on Israel all the way through. In other words, in the end, what God's going to do is he is going to give Israel a heart to believe, okay, and he's going to give them eyes to perceive. And when they get these eyes to see and this heart to believe, they're going to know all the things that God wants them to know, because they are no longer going to be spiritually blind. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 8 that when God puts Israel under the new covenant, he says here, "This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest." You see that? So in Hebrews chapter 8, verses 10 and 11, which I just read, the Lord takes away their spiritual blindness. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians that there is still a veil over the eyes of Israel. They just can't get it, okay? And so when you talk about, I'm talking about as a nation now, when you talk about Israel and you talk about their Messiah and you're wondering how come the whole nation hasn't turned to him yet, by the time God does everything he has to do to get that nation to turn, they're going to be destroyed down to a remnant. You know that if you read books like Isaiah. And in the meantime, they just can't see it, which is a sad thing, but nevertheless, it's the way that it is. Now, what is connected with that spiritual blindness is what Isaiah called, what Acts chapter 28, verses 26 and 27 called, what Matthew chapter 13 called, a gross heart. So this spiritual blindness is compounded by the gross heart, and the gross heart is a heart that is dull, it's flat, fat, it's slow, it's dull to the things of God, fat with lust and distractions of things, slow to follow the Lord. Really, they've got trouble with that. And I'm going to tell you, whenever you find yourself in the same situation of spiritual blindness, the obvious you should be able to pick up and you're not getting, it's going to really diminish your perception. All right, so one more thing that will really diminish your perception and cause you to say, well, perception is reality, when your perception isn't reality, it's just your reality, is hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. Look in Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verse 41. Luke chapter 6 and verse 41. All right, the Bible here says, "Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye?" Now look at verse 42. "Either how canst thou say to thy brother, Brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye." What's the problem? Hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. I can see it in you, but I can't see it in myself. Well, I'll tell you what, that is a major, major problem with perception. I've often said that the thing you criticize the hardest in somebody else's life is the very thing you're having the most trouble with in your own life. You will even say, and I don't have trouble with this, when in fact, that's where you're having a great deal of trouble. Hypocrisy. You can see it in others, but you can't see it in yourself. So what we've been looking at so far today is the things that diminish your perception. The things that diminish your perception. All right, human limitations. Let me just comment on a few of these and we're going to go to the next group. The human limitations. If you are limited as a human being in your ability to perceive something because God has not given you wisdom or the ability to see it. For instance, you cannot look up into the skies and see New Jerusalem. Okay? Then quit trying to discover it by human means. You will never be able to get it all. All right, if alcohol and drugs diminish your perception, then I'm going to tell you something. Don't ever get into a serious discussion with anybody about anything that's serious when you are inebriated, because you are not going to think clearly and you are going to see things all wrong. The next thing is unbelief. If you're having trouble discerning the words of God, why don't you try this? Why don't you try believing what you're reading? And then the spiritual blindness pretty much deals with Israel, so I won't say much more about it. Let me say this, hypocrisy. If your perception is messed up because you can't see the trouble that you have in your own life, then hypocrite, you know what you need to do? You need to do what Jesus Christ said. You need to go to work on yourself first. And you need to clear up the matter in your own life. And after you have worked on yourself and gotten all of this stuff out of your life, okay, and you know you're in a good shape with the Lord, then you can start concerning yourself with somebody else and how their lives are being lived. Like, I was talking to an old friend of mine that's passed away now, and he said, I'm not going to mess with that fellow over trouble he's having in his life. I'm having enough trouble just dealing with my own life. There's a wise man, because he knows his perception would be affected by the trouble he's still having in his own life. Well, we can't end on a negative note. Let's go to something that's positive here. Let's go to something that will help you. Things that enhance your perception. Things that enhance your perception. And the first thing, obviously, if unbelief is one problem, then something that will enhance your perception is to believe the words of God. When Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he was walking on the road to Emmaus with a couple of his disciples, and they didn't even know that he was the Messiah. They didn't have any idea he was the resurrected Savior. It caught them by surprise. But you know something? When he got ready to reveal himself to these disciples, he didn't say like he did to Thomas, look at the holes in my hands and the holes in my feet. You know what he said? He said to them in Luke chapter 24, verse 25, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. He revealed himself to them in the scriptures. In verse 45, same chapter, he says, Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Let me tell you, you're not even going to be able to comprehend how much the scriptures open to you when you start believing them. I say this, there are too many people that are using the scriptures today to simply strike up an argument on the internet in some blog site with comments. That's right. You're not learning anything from the Word of God. You don't go to the Bible to read in order to try to get perception from the words of God. You go to the Bible to simply back up what you already believe and then go find some website to argue with somebody, and then y'all sit there and banter back and forth, and neither one of you is getting any better. Neither one of you is getting any more light from the Scripture. All you're doing is in pride is revealing your foolishness and your ignorance and debating and striving about words. And you don't get anywhere. You know what you ought to do? You ought to just quit in all your pride going on the internet and trying to find some site where you can land and expound your foolishness. You ought to just cut all that nonsense out. Get the Bible. Forget the Greek. Forget the Hebrew. You don't even know it well enough to speak it, so what are you bothering with? Get a ray of all those commentaries. Forget all that stuff. Get into that Bible and just read and read and read and pray and ask God to give you an understanding and to reveal things to you in the Scripture. And go through it once and go through it twice and go through it three times, doing nothing but just reading the Scripture and believing everything you read. And it will change your life. And you know what? It will enhance your perception. You'll actually begin to understand for the first time in your life what the Bible says rather than what you already believe about it. And you won't have to correct the words anymore with Greek and Hebrew, because what's written there in front of you will be perfectly clear. How does that sound? Does it sound like I'm ranting and raving? You know, I'm really not trying to rant and rave. Obviously, I hope I've gotten your attention. But the point is, there are a lot of people who are talking about a lot of nonsense And they really don't perceive the words of God at all because they don't even believe what they're reading. And I certainly believe that with this Bible on my desk right now talking to you, I believe that every single word in it is absolutely the Word of God. And of course, I'm reading out of a King James Bible, and some of you take offense to that because I believe it with all my heart. But no one's shown me an error yet. I really don't want to get into all this, but no, there's not an error. If it's not broke, why change it? Why alter it? The king of changing and altering and lying about and manipulating the words of God is the devil. That puts you in a really bad place when you start doing that stuff. All right, now another thing that will enhance your perception is the knowledge of God's ways. The knowledge of God's ways. You go back here in Nehemiah chapter 6. In Nehemiah chapter 6, in verses 10 to 13, Nehemiah is approached by a fella who tells him, "Let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay thee. Yea, in the night they will come to slay thee." You know what he's trying to do? He's trying to scare him. In verse 11, Nehemiah said, "Should such a man as I flee? And who is there that being as I am would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. And lo, I perceived that God had not sent him, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me, for Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him." You see, Nehemiah knew God's ways. And Nehemiah knew when this man came in there and said, "Run for your life," he said, no. God did not stir up my heart to come back to Jerusalem to build up the wall and stand firm with our people and protect ourselves against an ambush to go run and hide in the temple. Somebody's trying to scare me, just like all the guys on radio today. Even the conservative talk show hosts, unfortunately, many of them are trying to scare you into reaction. And listen, if you know the words of God and you know the ways of God, your perception is going to be clear, and they're not going to scare you. Listen, the things that will enhance your perception are the knowledge of God's ways. When you know how God does things and you see how God has worked in your life, if somebody come along and try to spook you, they're not going to scare you because you know God's ways. You'll have a correct perception. They're trying to scare you in order to get you to buy their product or follow their leaning. And if that's not God's ways, don't follow that. All right, here's another thing that will enhance your perception: wisdom. Proverbs chapter 1, and look at verse 2. Proverbs chapter 1, look at verse 2. The Bible says, just phenomenal stuff here, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. When Solomon was given wisdom and understanding by the Lord, you know, two women came to him and said, "We have an argument about which baby died and which baby is alive." And Solomon settled it, said, "Bring me a sword. We'll divide the living baby, and each can have half." And the mother of that baby had so much sympathy for the baby, she said, no way. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the ways of understanding. So wisdom is going to really enhance your perception, because you'll look at a situation and you'll have all that wisdom of God and the wisdom of life experience, and you'll look at the circumstance and you'll say, "I know what this is. I can properly perceive it." Why? Just like Solomon did. Why will you be able to properly perceive it? Because you will have wisdom, and wisdom will guide you to perceive the words of understanding. Things that enhance your perception. Well, this is easy. Discernible facts. Oh, most of the cases of perception in the Bible really just have to do with discernible facts. You just look at the facts. You say, "Well, I've got that figured out." In Joshua chapter 22 and verse 31, the Bible says, "Phinehas, the son of Eleazar the priest, said unto the children of Reuben and to the children of Gad and to the children of Manasseh, this day we perceive that the Lord is among us, because you have not committed this trespass against the Lord. Now you have delivered the children of Israel out of the hand of the Lord." What was he talking about? Well, Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh, after they won all the wars to occupy Israel or the Promised Land, went back across. They were going to go into Gilead, and they made an altar. And everybody said, "Oh, they did that. Now they're going to start worshiping another god." And he said, "No, we did that as a reminder to ourselves." And they're like, "Okay, we perceive that the Lord is among us." The discernible fact is they weren't building an altar for sacrifice. in Judges chapter 6 and in verse 22, Gideon is talking to an angel, and when the angel consumes an offering on a rock with fire and then departs out of his sight, Gideon says, I perceive that he was an angel of the Lord. What? Discernible facts. Discernible facts. I can see that. Eli says, I discern or perceive that the Lord called you, Samuel. Why? Discernible facts. Nobody else is around here calling, and he's not calling me. It's the voice of the Lord. Discernible facts will enhance your perception. You know where people get messed up most of the time with misperception? They aren't reading the facts correctly. They're not regarding all of the facts. They are reacting emotionally. They get in a hissy fit instead of looking at all of the facts and questioning and making sure that they understand everything clearly. The facts, most of the time, are going to clear it all up for you. And then finally, the things that enhance your perception are spiritual insight. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man that is in him? Your spirit, if you're not wounded by all kinds of pride and bitterness and things that keep you rattled all the time inside, depression and things like that, you know what? Your spirit's going to give you a pretty good indication about some things. Jesus Christ, when he was here on the earth, perceived some things in his spirit about the people that he was with. And it wasn't a supernatural thing. It's just that his spirit was good and he could perceive things. Well, I wish I had a lot more time to talk with you about these matters, but let me just say something. Listen, you know what? If you want to keep from misperceiving things, from having a bad perception, or from your perception being reality when truly reality is not your perception, you know what? Get in the Bible and believe God's words. Get used to knowing God's ways so that you don't get spooked. Get some wisdom from your life experience and from the Scripture. Read all the facts and make sure you have all the facts down. Don't react emotionally. And then get your spirit in good shape by the Holy Spirit so that you have good, clear spiritual insight as a man should have about the spiritual nature of other men. And those things will help you.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.